3. During the Sabbath day. Throughout this Sabbath day, the disciples and the apostles remained in hiding, while all Jerusalem discussed the death of Jesus on the cross. There were almost 1.5 million Jews present in Jerusalem at this time, hailing from all parts of the Roman Empire and from Mesopotamia. This was the beginning of the Passover week, and all these pilgrims would be in the city to learn of the resurrection of Jesus and to carry the report back to their homes. Late Saturday night, John Mark summoned the 11 apostles secretly to come to the home of his father, where, just before midnight, they all assembled in the same upper chamber where they had partaken of the Last Supper with their master 2 nights previously. Mary, the mother of Jesus, with Ruth and Jude, returned to Bethany to join their family this Saturday evening just before sunset. David Zebedee remained at the home of Nicodemus, where he had arranged for his messengers to assemble early Sunday morning. The women of Galilee, who prepared spices for the further embalming of Jesus' body, tarried at the home of Joseph of Arimathea. We are not able fully to explain just what happened to Jesus of Nazareth during this period of a day and a half when he was supposed to be resting in Joseph's new tomb. Apparently he died the same natural death on the cross as would any other mortal in the same circumstances. We heard him say, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." We do not fully understand the meaning of such a statement, inasmuch as his thought adjuster had long since been personalized, and so maintained an existence apart from Jesus' mortal being. The Master's personalized adjuster could in no sense be affected by his physical death on the cross. That which Jesus put in the Father's hands for the time being must have been the spirit counterpart of the adjuster's early work in spiritizing the mortal mind so as to provide for the transfer of the transcript of the human experience to the mansion worlds. There must have been some spiritual reality in the experience of Jesus which was analogous to the spirit nature or soul of the faith-growing mortals of the spheres. But this is merely our opinion. We do not really know what Jesus commended to his Father. We know that the physical form of the Master rested there in Joseph's tomb until about 3 o'clock Sunday morning, but we are wholly uncertain regarding the status of the personality of Jesus during that period of 36 hours. We have sometimes dared to explain these things to ourselves somewhat as follows. 1. The creator consciousness of Michael must have been at large and wholly free from its associated mortal mind of the physical incarnation. 2. The former thought adjuster of Jesus we know to have been present on earth during this period and in personal command of the assembled celestial hosts. 3. The acquired spirit identity of the man of Nazareth, which was built up during his lifetime in the flesh, first by the direct efforts of his thought adjuster, and later by his own perfect adjustment between the physical necessities and the spiritual requirements of the ideal mortal existence, as it was effected by his never-ceasing choice of the Father's will, must have been consigned to the custody of the Paradise Father. Whether or not this spirit reality returned to become a part of the resurrected personality, we do not know, but we believe it did. But there are those in the universe who hold that this soul identity of Jesus now reposes in the bosom of the Father, to be subsequently released for leadership of the Nebadon core of the finality in their undisclosed destiny in connection with the uncreated universes of the unorganized realms of outer space. 4. We think the human or mortal consciousness of Jesus slept during these 36 hours. We have reason to believe that the human Jesus knew nothing of what transpired in the universe during this period. To the mortal consciousness, there appeared no lapse of time. The resurrection of life followed the sleep of death as of the same instant. And this is about all we can place on record regarding the status of Jesus during this period of the tomb. There are a number of correlated facts to which we can allude, although we are hardly competent to undertake their interpretation. In the vast court of the resurrection halls of the first mansion world of Satania, there may now be observed a magnificent material Maurontia structure known as the Michael Memorial, now bearing the seal of Gabriel. This memorial was created shortly after Michael departed from this world, and it bears this inscription, in commemoration of the mortal transit of Jesus of Nazareth on Urantia. There are records extant which show that during this period the Supreme Council of Salvington, numbering 100, held an executive meeting on Urantia under the presidency of Gabriel. There are also records showing that the Ancients of Days of Uversa communicated with Michael regarding the status of the universe of Nebadon during this time. We know that at least one message passed between Michael and Emmanuel on Salvington while the Master's body lay in the tomb. There is good reason for believing that some personality sat in the seat of Caligastia in the System Council of the Planetary Princes on Jerusalem, which convened while the body of Jesus rested in the tomb. The records of Edentia indicate that the constellation Father of Norlaciadec was on Urantia, and that he received instructions from Michael during this time of the tomb. And there is much other evidence which suggests that not all of the personality of Jesus was asleep and unconscious during this time of apparent physical death.